Right. That really, and I know Bonnie has done apparently a lot of work with health maintaining the list and so forth. But since the motion we passed talked about having the stewards or the stewards council or whatever the phrasing was actually do this work, I would think that that would be a decision that UPSA would have to make rather than Terry. Mm-hmm. Right, Terry?
If they can, that would be great.
But I will try to log some hours this week in outreach.
A point of information again, had you gotten to creating a format of some sort, or would you like to send us? I'd like to see these names on a list, if you wouldn't mind. I don't recognize some of them, and I'm really bad at hearing them. But is there a format for the program, or is that yet to come? Terry?
The initial format was consideration of the resolutions to be brought forth to this committee for its consideration as referral to the CMB. There was also a motion since passed by the WBAI UPSOC that the committee probably would want to discuss. So that I was adding that to the agenda. But pretty much it was as outlined in the invitation, which I believe is a copy to the list.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sorry. All right. That's good. So you don't have a time frame projected when this might happen?
I'd like to ask Serene to propose new dates, because she's in the position where I think with all her committee commitments, we should work around that.
Mm-hmm. She's not the only one that has a lot of committee commitments. Jeez.
Who?
I don't know who made that last comment, but I didn't ask for any special consideration. And in fact, in New York, we proposed 3 dates. And as I said, I will certainly get back, reach out to the folks in Berkeley this week. So, Terry, if I don't call you by, let's say, Thursday, please call me.
Okay.
And we'll try to pin down a few more dates that we can offer. But I do have a motion that I would like to make.
Go ahead.
And it is my hope that we can get this call done, within, I'd say certainly within the next 3 weeks, so that by the time we meet again, hopefully we'll actually have had, at least an initial conversation. But in looking at and Terry, I'm happy that you're at a computer, especially because I'm not, but also you're really good at hammering out motions, which is one of my least favorite tasks. It seems that one of the things that came out of the closed session meeting, the 10 p.m. call of this committee back in February, was a motion that it seems to me it causes a great deal of concern among myself and other people I've spoken to, including staff people, about a motion that demands all kinds of personal information from staff people, including health insurance information, that claims and that claims to be helping to enact a resolution from November. So I'm really concerned that a motion of this nature, which concerns staff, would be passed in executive session and would of this committee and would be passed without any conversation with the people who are most affected. That seems to me to be a violation of the very basic principles by which we're supposed to be operating as a governance body and as an organization. So I would actually ask this committee to rescind the vote. That
point of information, did you say it was passed in executive session?
If the note... I'm sorry, may I
turn?
Well, I'm assuming that your elections committee report is correct, and I'm reading from that report. I'm not sure if this is page one or it may be page two. For anyone who has access to the report, or the full first full text page it looks like, because I think you had a cover page, if I'm not mistaken. The way it's printed out is quite punched together, so I don't know how it looks to the rest of you who are looking. But it begins on the bottom of page 2, and it says, you know, pursuant to 2 motions passed by the Elections Committee for consideration by the PNB, jump down about 3 or 4 lines to... Anyone find it yet?
What date?
Don't have it.
This is the report that Carolyn Burden sent to the PNB for their March meeting.
For the March meeting. Okay.
Yeah. And I believe, you know, forgive me if I'm wrong, because as I said, I'm looking at a sort of scrunched up copy here, where everything is collapsed and not spaced the way it might have been on the original report. It seems to be at the bottom of page 2. And it says in caps, 2 motions passed by the Elections Committee for consideration by the PNB. And then the paragraph begins at the end of last year. Anyone see that?
I will in a minute. It's taking
okay.
me a while.
Okay,
to get
so let me read it, because dead air is not a good thing. skip down a few lines. It says, pursuant to that motion mandating that the general managers keep rosters of staff members, the Elections Committee on February 19th, 2006, which I believe was the night of the closed session, passed without objection the following motion. And then it's a three-part motion, each of those parts having several parts. You know, and as I said, it concerns staff. It was held in executive session.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but it was not executive session. I believe the executive session was held after the original meeting, and
that's
that
correct.
Particular motion was passed in public session. You could probably listen to it on the audio, actually.
Your notes are unclear. It says February 19th, so it's difficult for me to tell.
Well, your interpretation is that it was
I'm
the
sorry,
same.
Carolyn,
it was not.
I'd like to finish.
Mm-hmm. Correctly, your interpretation.
I mean, you may be the chair, but you're still required to treat, you know, the staff.
No lecture, Serene. You're just misinterpreting the date. It was not an executive session.
Carolyn, I'd like to be afforded
the only
same
point I wanted to make.
Every
Please
other
proceed.
Member of this committee, you habitually talk over me. That is rude. Even if you're chair, it's bad manners. Please
I'm
don't
correcting
do
your misinformation. Please proceed, Serene.
And this motion, as I said, there are three parts, including parts where they want to know who your next of kin is and your emergency contact and your health insurance information. It's just, you know, if you're going to ask for information about staff, if you're going to ask that staff do particular things, it might be helpful to actually talk to the people who do the work. You come up with a motion that actually is respectful of all parties involved, and that actually seeks to address the questions that need to be answered in a way that is not invasive, and that is respectful of people's right to privacy. So I would actually ask that this entire motion be rescinded until such a time as there's actually a conversation with the people involved.
Is that your motion?
Work on the stack?
Mm-hmm. Mary?
Yeah, where that motion was passed, it was the same night, February 19th, and that's an archive. It was a conference call that was streamed, and it's also archived, and that's where all
that's
that
early,
was passed.
Okay.
The executive session, it didn't have anything to do with the executive session, which was only to do with procedures around the election and who should... You know, that sort of thing. It was
okay, and I'm awaiting
confidential because the people that we were dealing with insisted that it be confidential. That was the only
right.
reason.
You said earlier that you're going to get some help with the file and send those notes out. So
yeah,
I
have my
yeah.
written notes. And I know I have okay. here the I mean, this other was a public session, and as I say, it's on the stream.
Okay,
at
I will certainly. I will certainly check that out, but I saw it.
Collection of staff data. We took that up at 8:15, actually. Let's see.
Yeah? Okay.
8, and does this say 1?
8:15. Eastern? No.
So yeah, Eastern.
Really?
No, it's later than that. 8:45 Eastern. I can't read my writing. I scribbled on it. 8:25, we started the collection of staff data. That's when we began to discuss this, actually.
Well, I'll certainly look at it, and I'd like to get back on this, but after other discussion.
I'm sorry, is there other discussion on this motion?
Terry just asked you.
Terry?
Yes.
Don White on the stack.
It appears to me that the text of the motion that the member is characterizing as invasive in its information request reads as follows. Information collected should include full name, postal address, email addresses, telephone numbers, and such additional emergency contact and medical insurance information as may be recommended by the Pacifica Human Resources Director.
Thank you, John.
Well, I would very much oppose reconsideration of this. I think what Terry just said also clarifies, I mean, if there's something inappropriate about what this committee did, and I believe that it acted in its capacity, appropriately and so on, if there's some evasive information that we're recommending be collected, I think it can be collected by human resources and others, but I do not think it's a good use of the time of this committee to go back and revisit that and spend like an hour debating, you know, well, what should the recommendation have been? So I would vote not to reconsider this.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else speak to this?
Yeah, I did ask to be put back on the stack, but yeah, of course, after everyone else has spoken, I don't mind doing it.
Yes, go ahead. I don't think anyone else is speaking to this. Go ahead.
This motion, which is three parts, consisting among them of, 15 or so other parts, all have to do with the unpaid staff. We've already agreed in principle that it makes sense, not just in principle, but in fact, we passed a motion creating a working group to actually have a conversation with the unpaid staff representatives, the elected representatives of the unpaid staff, to discuss their processes and to see how, in fact, we can work together to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Passing a motion and forwarding a motion to the PND after we've made that agreement seems to me a violation of both the spirit and the text of that previous motion. The unpaid staff in New York has an organization. The unpaid staff in Berkeley has an organization. There are also unpaid staff at the other three stations, although they do not, to my knowledge, have any organization. There ought to be some consultation with the people who actually do the work before we decide how they need to be governed. I mean, we're not talking here about people who... We're not talking here about children who need to... We're talking about adults who contribute hours and hours of their time on a regular basis to make the programming that is our foundation. So we say, fine, we're going to have a conversation with you. In the meantime, we're going to go ahead and pass a bunch of motions that affect you without any consultation. That is at least unfair. I'm not saying that there was any intentional disrespect. I think people perhaps didn't think about it. I was not able to join that call. So I don't know what the arguments are. I'll take Mary's notes and go see what was actually said. But it seems to me, at the very least, having agreed that, okay, fine, we're going to discuss this with you, you discuss it with people before you go off and send through a bunch of stuff like this.
Anyone else on the staff?
I guess I'd like to say something, Mrs. Harrison.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. I'm trying to do something with a cat here. Oh. I have to beg off.
All right. I would like to make a point about this. I think the purpose of this was to make sure that, as we said at the beginning, the elections supervisors were not faced with the same situation they were faced with last time, and that is that they had no way of authenticating a list of unpaid staff in order to validate the list before ballots went out. And the point, as Terry read, is simply to give an outline of information that might be useful or necessary, and I think if you read carefully, it applies to both the paid and the unpaid staff, and make sure that the Human Services Director had the final say in what sort of information was collected, and there were serious points made, and a method of assigning each set of data that was collected an anonymous or a blind number, so that people looking at the information in the aggregate or in individual cases would not know the names of the people they were dealing with when it came time to authenticate this for the election purposes. So I don't think that there is any danger in any of this information being collected to use for anything other than what the relations person needs and what the general managers by law must have. They really must have some data about who is working in a serious lack in each of the stations. They're required to know who's there, and the fact is that there have been some problems when things happened to people and they didn't know who the people were. So this was simply to give them some backup and make sure that everybody on staff was identified and nobody was working for the station who was not known. Emergency contact information and other information. So that is the reason for that. So I would strongly object to be considering this, and I would really suggest that before, you might want to rethink that and listen to it again carefully and consider all the arguments and discussions, because we did have quite a bit of discussion on these issues before
I'd like
you
to get
bring
out of
that motion.
Mary Burke, I'd like to be able to say.
Jerry Beck.
Harrison,
I did ask to get on the staff, but I'll defer
go ahead.
To Mary.
No,
who's
no,
not
Serene,
spoken.
Go ahead, and then Mary, and then
I
Terry,
said I'll
and
defer
then
to Mary, who's not spoken.
Yeah, I just, my only contribution is there were three parts, because there are three categories, and there was paid staff, unpaid staff, and then listener volunteers, the people who can qualify by spending 3 hours in the phone room, and people have in prior years from, I think, in all the signal areas complained that there wasn't an adequate way for them to have their data recorded to say who they were and when they worked and all of that. So they didn't get that there was not a way to certify that they did in fact spend the 3 hours in the phone room. So this is as much, at least that category of the three groups, they wanted this and have wanted this. They want a way of being documented so that they can prove that they spent the time and don't have to pay the $25. And the paid staff is also, of course, documented, but I know at our station the managers have insisted that, you know, they have tried to insist that they have all this contact information about everybody for the reasons that Carolyn has said, but also if we're talking about having outside, you know, companies maybe administering the elections, they've demanded that they have lists that are verifiable in some way and that they be updated on a pretty regular basis. So this has been in the works from various quarters for months. Going back to the PNB last fall when they passed a bunch of stuff along these lines. So I think it's been out there. I certainly put all this information out to the unpaid staff, you know, for them to think about. Hardly anybody responded, which, you know, I tried to let them know. But it's not like this suddenly came up and a few people did a sneaky thing. It seems to have a lot of momentum all through the network. I just wanted to give that perspective to it.
Serene?
Well, a number of things. You know, I'm hearing that this is about all sorts of people, but if you actually read the motion, you'll see that, in fact, it concerns unpaid staff everywhere. Part 2 of the first section, each volunteer worker whose labor contribution may qualify them should be assigned. Okay, the worker database, contact information for volunteer workers, unpaid labor records, workers' name and identification code, dates worked, hours per day. You're asking people to create an incredible log here, and then all power goes to the general manager, which seems to me to be a setup for abuse, because the general manager gets to decide who votes on the governing board, where the governing board that then supervises or monitors or oversees, if you will, that person's work. There's a conflict of interest that's built in. You're giving the GM sole authority to decide who qualifies to vote. That's a disaster, regardless of who's on what side. I mean, it's just not a good idea. The issue of paid staff, the management knows fully well when paid staff shows up to work. Otherwise, I can't understand how they're issuing checks. So this clearly does not cover paid staff. With regard to volunteer work and the people who come in and do their 3 hours or more, because I work all the time, there's people who come in and do 4 and 5 and 6 and 10 hours a day, sometimes for weeks, you know, an entire drive. You'll see these people on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So there's no question here, and there's this constant suggestion that there are people who don't want, you know, volunteers to vote, or people who don't want to make sure that the people who are voting to select representatives to the governing board among the staff want people who are informed, involved, committed, and vested in the radio station. There's no question here. No one wants a bunch of people showing up to vote who actually don't work at the station. You want people who you know that they're there, you know that they're available when you have issues, you know that they're familiar enough with the situation so that their votes, their recommendations, their decisions, their process of seeking information and soliciting information, you know, is truly inclusive. So it's not a matter of whether I sent this out to the listserv and no one responded. It's a matter that unpaid staff has, at least in two areas, and I'm sorry that people aren't more concerned that it doesn't exist everywhere throughout the foundation, because I do think workers do need protections and workers do need organization, and they do need organizing, and within Pacifica to have the unpaid staff organizations constantly being slammed by people who are unhappy with voting results is really distressing. But the fact is that we have people who were elected to serve the unpaid staff, whose responsibility is to keep in touch and on top of issues that affect the working conditions of the producers and the other staff. So it is their job. This is not a matter of whether I sent it out and nobody responded. It's a very different situation from having a conversation with the stewards about the conditions under which people must work. And these things affect working conditions. If I have to keep a log, a running log, okay, I spent 20 minutes on the internet today, and I returned a call, and I was on hold for 15 minutes. I mean, you know, there's like, you talk to the people involved. If you want something accomplished, you engage the people who are affected. And this motion simply goes entirely around a very specific agreement by this committee to do that by reaching out to the two unpaid staff organizations. And I think that is wrong. I think this motion needs to be rescinded, the discussion needs to be held, and these issues perhaps presented as part of the agenda of that meeting, or in some way presented to the staff, the staff representatives, and then brought to this committee for a decision. But to simply agree to do something and then to simply work around it is on principle.
Terry, I think you were next.
Yes, I wanted to make two points. I'm having trouble finding in the motion passed the content that the member is objecting to. The motion itself begins as that these are to be general guidelines for the executive director with respect to the forms, reports, and procedures needed for implementation of a PNB resolution. Item 4 in the introduction gives specific protection for unpaid workers with the following text. Contact information maintained for volunteer workers, both listener volunteers and unpaid staff, should be treated with confidentiality equivalent to that afforded paid employee records, but shall be available to election supervisors for use in verifying voter rolls. Personally, in the design of the text of this resolution or the initial draft, what I bring and brought is experience as an unpaid staff member, as a producer, as a paid staff member, and as a member of Pacifica management. I believe that the text of the resolution gives sufficient leeway to management in designing a fair form in compliance with all worker protection laws, because it's offered as general guidelines. I don't feel that the desire of this committee to consult with paid staff, which of course paid staff can always consult with us by sending us their own messages, I don't believe the work of the committee should be impeded by a requirement that our resolutions must wait. I see nothing in the resolution that we passed that is truly objectionable to me from any of my prior perspectives, and so I would vote against the motion to rescind.
Mm-hmm. Harrison?
I'm having trouble with this whole thing here, but I've got one specific question that's bothering me. It seems to me that the human relations officer has the authority to request medical information. And another thing that's bothering me is that the management has sufficient leeway to make sure that the process is fair, but is there concern that management has sufficient leeway to make it unfair?
Okay, good question. If I may put myself on the stack, is there anyone else who wants to speak to those points?
Go ahead, Carolyn, I'll speak after you.
All right, the medical information, I think it was the bare bones of whatever any employer must have about anybody working on the premises or under the auspices of a company. In other words, if people have medical conditions one must know about, or if they have, if something happens to them, there's an accident, you have to have a contact information, next of kin, if there's some sort of serious medical or even a legal, and these things have come up, a prohibition against a person working with certain people or things or chemicals or food. Is someone working on this on the telephone? I hear an awful lot of noise in my ear. Could someone mute themselves? I don't know whether it's
typing. I think it's just static.
Just static? Mm. That's pretty bad. So I don't think it's any more than is legally necessary, and we did leave that to the discretion of the human relations director. The point from the point of view of the elections committee was that, in fact, the suggestion that Serene made was, I think, just the opposite happened last time at BAI. There were complaints that people who had worked as volunteers were not given ballots. The lists were not well kept enough so that they
right.
got ballots, and that was a serious complaint. To the objection that the GM has sole right over this, that is not true. There are two lists being suggested. The unpaid staff organizations must keep their list, and the management must keep its list. And at some point, they probably will have to be reconciled, and that's what the election supervisor will need to do in order to validate a ballot list. But it's not that the GM has the sole discretion. The GM will keep a list, and if the unpaid staff organizations in those two stations that have them don't keep a list, then of course the GM's list will work. Otherwise, the unpaid staff organization list will go on. Now, the question of a log and too much trouble, I don't think we're talking about logging in like a lawyer, you know, every 15 minutes. I think at some point department heads or producers will have to attest to the fact that somebody did enough work to qualify for a ballot. And that doesn't mean keeping a minute-by-minute log by any means. It means assigning a task, seeing that it was done, and signing off on it. So the people I did talk to at various stations agreed that that was not particularly onerous. There was a little bit of paperwork, but it was going to be worth it if it wouldn't stop any of these arguments about who deserved a ballot and who didn't. Okay. Mary, did you want to say something?
No,
I think Richard did, and then I'd like to get on.
Richard, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think what we have to look at here is we have to do a balancing act between the, you know, rights of the individuals and the rights of everybody to know that the election is being handled above board. And the only way you can do that is keep some kind of record. You know, just like, Serene, you didn't want people making phone calls about who's being nominated. Well, how about people taking somebody's word that they worked 30 hours that week, I mean, or that month, or that 6 months? I mean, we have to have this, you know, I'm going to say this, and I hope nobody finds it offensive, but I know it to be true. There's been a lot of patronage and cronyism in this system for years, tons of it, on all levels. And when that's going on, lots of backhanded things happen, and if you don't have records to keep track of that, the whole election process is a joke. You know, we end up looking like Florida and Ohio, and I don't want to do that. I want to have an election process that I can say to everybody out there, this is a fair process, and, you know, it was done right, and we keep records, and the people who get to vote are the people who are supposed to get to vote, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, sure, there are going to be a mistake or two here and there, but we have to do this right. And in that last election, there were so many things, and I don't want to waste everybody's time with all the ones that I know of, all the dirty tricks and games and stupid things that happened. Some maybe were intentional, some were unintentional, but it was not a clean election, okay? And I and some of my people were the victims of many of those dirty tricks, and we still managed to win two-thirds of the vote, but I think we would have won a lot more but for that. And I just, you know, we have to have a procedure that's above board and open and transparent. And the medical thing, I think Carol's right about that. From a legal point of view, if you have people coming into your place of work, you really do need to know if they are allergic to this or that, or if they have, you know, some kind of need for emergency medical care, and the next person to call if they pass out, you know, somebody needs to be called. So there's minimal stuff that you have to keep on that. I don't think anybody was keeping wanting to have their whole medical history, but just the kind of emergency information that you get from an employee, you know, so that they're on your premises working all the time if they're there, and you need to be responsible for that.
Can I get on the stack again,
Harrison? Yes, Harrison. Serena, were you
there? I guess my confusion was, what does medical history have to do with election? I mean, so you've got an emergency medical condition, does that affect your right to vote?
No. Can I explain
that? Yes, please.
Because I was just talking about what they're talking about is that it has nothing to do with your right to vote. It has to do with anybody who's coming in the building regularly as an unpaid regular staff person. It just happens to be that that's part of how you keep track of somebody. So if somebody is a person claiming that they have a right to vote, that means they are regularly there. That means the station needs that information to protect themselves and the station from legal liability problems. That's what that means.
Mm-hmm. That has to do with the elections committee?
No, it just has to be done if you're going to keep a list of people. That's all.
We're going to keep
The list of that, Harrison, the list won't be with the election supervisor. The list will be with the human resources people. That list, particularly. But we have to know who is regularly coming in and out of the station doing work there for very many reasons. And one of them is legal liability around certain medical things that can happen. And
so what
and
you're
more
saying
liability.
Is what we're saying is that somebody who's claiming that they were in the building, but they have some emergency situation, some medical condition, then we're going to say, well, they couldn't have been on the premises because they're... I don't get what this has to do with elections.
it has to do with record keeping, period.
Right.
That's all.
Isn't that outside the purview of this committee?
No.
It is.
Because we have to keep a record of all the
people. Excuse me, Serene, can we have a stack here? Go ahead, Richard.
Like I said, I don't think the election people are going to even see these records. What it's saying is we have to start having an official record of people who claim to be regular unpaid staff people. And that's just part of what each station needs to have, a little file cabinet that says unpaid staff, and they're all listed in there. And if this unpaid staff, Jane Smith, passes out and dies, who do you call? Or they have to go to the hospital and somebody has to make a decision about whether a life-saving thing is done, and who do you call that has the authority to make that decision? Who's their next of kin? You know, that's all it is. I mean, every place that I've ever worked, I have that for my employees.
Like Richard, I'd like
that's,
to...
That's
excuse
all
me,
question.
Richard, are you finished?
That's all. Yeah.
All right, Serene?
Yes. It, in fact, has nothing to... I'm sorry. Were you saying something?
No.
Harrison, were you saying something?
Oh, no, Don, too, thanks.
Hmm?
It has nothing to do with elections, like a great deal of things that this committee seems to be engaging in. It really has nothing to do with elections. This committee's job is to make sure that the local election supervisors have the tools that they need to conduct elections that are consistent with the bylaws. The suggestion that, well, I spoke to people, unnamed people at unnamed stations, and they said it's not too much to do, or I used to do this a few years ago, and therefore I think it's reasonable, does not substitute for actually having the discussion of these issues that affect staff, some of which are clearly irrelevant. You know, some of the things in this motion are clearly irrelevant to anything having, you know, anything resembling an election. But none of those things that I've heard substitute with having the conversation with the people who were elected to address the issues, the interests, and convey the concerns of unpaid staff. So while it's fine that this committee thinks that, or members of this committee thinks that we should be doing X, Y, Z, we have a process. We have an agreement. We have a governance committee. We have a national board. We have an executive director. And recommendations about, unless you're planning to, you know, somehow have Pacifica pay for health insurance for all of its workers, which would be a wonderful thing, paid or unpaid, especially paid, actually, that's a different story. Unless you're prepared to do that, in which case you can ensure that we have health information, you know, health coverage, and you'll know how to pay for it. It's not the concern of this committee. It's not the concern of anyone on a local board, on a national board. In fact, health information isn't even supposed to be generally available. I believe that's part of the protected. One of the protected aspects of employee records. So, you know, we don't need people who, and you know, with all due respect, I don't know, nor do I need to know what the legal background is of any member of this committee. The board actually has or is considering who its legal counsel will be and recommendations about what kinds of things you need to do with your workers will come from legal counsel, not from members of committee who are in fact overreaching. And my fundamental point, and I'm going to say this for the last time, because either you get it and you respect staff rights or you don't. Either you get it and you respect an agreement that you made or you don't. We agreed that before we dealt with particular staff issues concerning the unpaid staff who have only their love of the work as payment, that we would have a conversation with the people they elected to represent them. And either we're going to honor that agreement, in which case it means rescinding this motion, which was actually passed after we agreed to the conversation. Either you care about that or you don't.
Anyone else have a comment on this? All right, I do want to make one point. The motion did have a great deal of discussion, and I'm sorry, Serene, you were not at that meeting. I think you would have... been
point
able
of
to
order,
contribute
that's
to
irrelevant.
It. That, well, it isn't really point. Because you're a staff representative, and you're saying we didn't consult staff. We did as well as we could. You weren't there at that point, but we discussed it, and we did discuss it with other staff members around the network, as Mary pointed out. So we have a motion to, what was your motion again, Serene?
To rescind.
February
19th motion. Until a conversation can be had with the representatives of unpaid staff as we agreed to in this committee.
Mm-hmm. Are we ready to go to a vote on that?
Roll call, please.
Well, it has
There's
to
no
be
other way to do it.
It
here.
Has to be. We're on.
I don't have ESP, so.
There you go.
Roll
bad
call.
Habits, attending board meetings in person. Okay.
There you go. I know, same here. To rescind. Okay. Well, I am actually voting no. Carolyn?
No.
Terry? Welcome back to you. Patty? Patty? I think she's muted. Melinda? God, everybody's muted. Richard?
I'm not.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Serene?
Yes.
Ted?
Yes.
Laverne?
No.
Carol left the call. Let's see. Zarina? No, she's muted.
It's Melinda. I say no.
Melinda says no. Don White?
No.
Harrison?
Abstain.
Okay. Jane is not here. Deb is not here. Okay, now, Terry?
No.
Patty Heffley? Patty? I think she's still here. Patty?
She didn't vote in the last round. She hasn't been here for a while, I don't think.
Okay, well, but then she came back on. Okay, well, that's, let's see. Patty, that's all there are. Did I miss anybody? Okay.
Did Richard vote? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Richard voted.
Richard voted.
Richard voted yes.
No, he voted no.
Richard voted no.
Checking. Sorry, I thought I had
10.
Yes.
Who?
Patty.
Okay, what do you vote? Yes or no to rescind that motion of...
No.
Okay. Okay, 8, no. 2, yes. 1, abstention. So, it failed.
The next item, then, is under the unfinished business. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Transparency report.
Point of order, just before we move on.
Yes.
Actually, I guess it's a point of parliamentary inquiry. If, in fact, I wanted to amend this this motion, which the same motion we were just discussing, when would be the appropriate time to do that?
Well, I think you missed the window of opportunity there. We've already voted on the motion. You would have to introduce a new motion.
No, this is an amendment. There was an emotion. There was a motion to rescind. That failed. Mm-hmm. I would now like to amend.
Yeah. Amend what?
Amend the motion.
The motion to rescind.
You have to make a new motion. There's no motion on the floor.
Okay, I have a motion. I'm waiting for recognition from the chair.
On this same topic?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, go ahead.
Looking specifically at part Roman numeral 2, item 6, which is verification. This is fact. It says verification of labor records shall be by a department head or general manager or his or her designees, and should be dated. Labor records shall be available to election supervisors for use in auditing voter rolls. My concern is, and I'm going to ask for help on the language here again, is that there's no mention here of unpaid staff organizations, nor is there any mention of a process or a producer's right to appeal a decision by a general manager. And I think that giving general managers the right to decide who gets to vote for the people who will oversee their work is a bad thing.
I'm going to insert here and ask for some help on parliamentary procedure here. It seems to me that this is no longer related to the staff teleconference work group, but is a new topic and really belongs under new business. Am I correct there?
We should take this in stages. You listen for a while.
Is someone talking? Is someone talking on this call, or they just
LaVonne, are you answering me, or?
Sorry. Yeah, I was trying to answer a call, but go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought I was on mute. Let me just go back to my
I rephrase my question.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
This is Ted. Don White on the stack.
I understood your question, and I would like to give you the help you're asking for.
Thank you.
I recently shared the same information, and she was very appreciative of it, of the chair of our local station board here in Houston, Susan Young. And that is when the chair feels that they are not clear on how to rule on a motion, or they feel that a point of order is before the body and the chair doesn't want to make a ruling, they can ask the body to rule on the point of order, and as a consequence, there is not a conflict or an appeal of the decision of the chair, or a fight between the chair and a single member. So if you would like the body to weigh in on whether or not Serene's motion is appropriate.
Point of order.
Excuse me, Melinda, let Ted finish, please.
I didn't know we became the governance committee.
Excuse me, Melinda, Ted has the floor. Ted, you were saying if I would like the body to make a ruling on the point of order?
You ask them.
That is appropriate. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Don, you were next on the stack, and then Melinda.
Yeah, well, I would like to suggest that this motion is in a sense, dilatory and inappropriate. The body has just spent probably an hour reaffirming the original motion. I'm not sure
yes,
it's appropriate.
I'll make sure she doesn't eat anything. You're kidding.
I'm not
Don,
sure.
Excuse me,
okay.
Don, mute yourself. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I believe there's a serious question on two points. One, after the body has spent an hour reaffirming, in a sense, the original motion, whether or not a member can, in a sense, go, you know, kind of item by item within the motion, especially based on a false premise, which I believe was that this is empowering a general manager to make a decision on who votes. Who votes is dictated by the bylaws. And this is not in any way a motion by this committee giving power to the general manager. There's an objective criteria for voting rights.
Point of
so privilege. I, in a sense, object
Madam
to spending
Chair,
more time.
Privilege?
Excuse me, as soon as the...
No, I believe
finished
I'm
speaking.
Right.
Point of
personal
privilege.
Ask.
No, you'll have to wait until this member's finished for a point of personal privilege. Go ahead, Don.
Well, I just really would like to register my objection to entertaining this motion on an issue that we have spent an hour resolving, and I still maintain that the member, with all due respect, this is not an insult to the member. But in a sense, there was the suggestion that we were in some way empowering general managers to arbitrarily decide who votes when the right to vote is an objective kind of criteria that is dictated by the bylaws, and the record keeping is simply to, you know, document that the voter has met the criteria.
Gary, with the rule?
Thank you. Yes. I think Serene was next. Is this a point of order, Terry?
No.
Serene?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we actually have been on this for an hour, and I will ask about the adjournment time in a minute since it's almost 11 o'clock here in New York, but I do object to Don characterizing it as a false representation. I think he's free to indicate that he has a different representation, but in fact to suggest that I have a motive and that that motive is to mislead is, in fact, improper.
Okay, point of personal privilege. I very much object to my comments being misconstrued and misrepresented. I did not suggest for one moment that you had a hidden agenda and so on. I'm only saying I believe the premise that you're moving on is not valid.
Thank you. Terry,
Mary Berg, I'd like to be on the stack.
And Mary,
yes.
And then, and then as soon as possible, I would like to move.
And I did
ask to a vote on this.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Since this discussion
excuse
is being
me.
Held on a motion that I brought, I believe I had the right to speak some time ago, but I'll wait till the others who you've recognized have spoken.
I think the vote is going to be on whether or not the discussion should continue at all. Terry and then Mary.
Yes.
Either of you have spoken.
Mm-hmm. If the chair was to rule this motion out of order, which I would support, the basis for that ruling would probably be from page 332, beginning on line 25. Motions are also improper when they present practically the same question as a motion previously decided at the same session.
Thank you. Mary?
Well, I don't want to spend any more time on this, but I'm extremely frustrated and sad that we are now talking about adjournment, and we have spent the entire meeting doing nothing but procedures that should have happened, approving the agenda and so forth. We have got the whole thing about we did one paragraph last time, motion on regularizing membership status. These things have to be done. If we don't do them, someone is going to do them for us, because we won't have anyone who is going to run this election, and this has to be done soon. If we don't have some kind of a way of deciding all these questions, they were problems in the first two elections, and it's up to us to decide how to fix these things. And this is 2 months go by, and we haven't done it. And I'm just registering extreme sadness and frustration about it. And I'm sorry that I took even more time to vent this way.
Thank you. I'm going to rule this out of order and move on with this.
I'm sorry. Madam Chair,
yes.
Point of information.
Yes?
I actually began my statement saying that this was a parliamentary inquiry, and I wanted to know where it would be appropriate to, in fact, make such an amendment. So I don't know how we got to the point where my raising a parliamentary inquiry becomes out of order. But
I think
I will.
Yes, go ahead.
If I could. I will, in fact, be sending a minority report to the PNB with regard to this so-called records motion.
That certainly is your right. I believe you said you were going to do that in March.
Madam Chair,
mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, point of order.
Yes.
Your comment is out of order. I know what my rights are. It's merely notifying the body. Thank you. But
I'm reaffirming your right. You're perfectly.
I don't need
and
you
for future information.
A point of information.
A point of information is a question, and I
point of personal privilege.
Point of personal privilege.
Point of personal privilege.
Everyone's
talking at once, and this is. Let us just move on, please. I can't be hearing all these conversations going on at once.
Is out of order. And the next item on the agenda is.
Can Terry get on the stack for the points of personal privilege?
Terry, go ahead.
I start work in 3 minutes, so I must leave the call.
Oh God!
I'm sorry.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Is there no way we can bring a vote?
I'm sorry about that. The next item actually is the unfinished business from the transparency reports left over from February 19th.
Point of information.
And I believe that, Ted, you said you were going to propose a variation or a change or an amendment on that.
I have a point of information, Madam Chair.
Yes.
It is 11 o'clock on the East Coast. When will we be adjourning?
Well, when someone moves to adjourn, and then we vote on it, I imagine.
I move to adjourn.
Mm-hmm. So we have the whole thing unfinished again.
We have been on the phone for 3 hours, and it's 11 o'clock.
Sorry that we have spent so much time on
Madam Chair, there's no debate on
the motion.
She's made
a motion,
too,
that we adjourn, so we have to...
Is there can it be discussion?
That's debatable, is it not?
To adjourn?
I believe so.
Is it?
I believe so.
It generally is not. I'd be willing to withdraw it if, in fact, there can be a discussion about an adjournment.
That's what Terry said or Ted said last time. I don't know. Maybe
let's go by what Ted said last time. Harrison?
I don't know. What did Terry? Is he still here?
Patty, this is Patty. Motion to adjourn is not debatable.
Okay,
it takes a majority.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Point.
Then let's take a vote on that.
Wait, point of order, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Once you approve the agenda of the meeting, it takes a two-thirds vote to amend the agenda, and any amendment to the agenda is debatable. We voted to establish the agenda for this meeting tonight, like all meetings. And once we did that, we established that old business and a bunch of other items would come before adjournment. Patty, I'm sorry to say, and most people are misinformed about this, that you cannot just jump in the middle of a meeting at any time and make a motion to adjourn in the midst of a previously approved agenda. This item is debatable, and I think everybody in this foundation needs to start to learn what they are doing when they approve an agenda.
Thank you, Ted. If you can, for future reference, give us a page reference on that so we don't have to go through this lesson again, I'd appreciate it.
Maybe we
will certainly take your point. Let's vote on whether to adjourn. We need to.
Well, if it's debatable, let's debate it.
Oh, God, let's not.
Let's not say we did.
No.
I've got a point that I'd like to make.
I'd like to get
on the
ground.
This is Harrison?
Yes, Harrison, go ahead.
I want to go back to the issue of the change of the date. I think that perhaps is part of the problem with our agenda and the adjournment. I think that it was improper to change the date of our meeting by an email majority. I think that is a proper business of the committee, and it's supposed to be done in public. And if that wasn't done, I think it's possibly contrary to the bylaws and probably contrary to California law.
Well, at the moment, I don't think we can deal with that, Harrison. We have another amendment.
Just to allow me to say this, because I think mm-hmm. it's important that what if I'd made a plan to go on vacation where I couldn't participate?
Harrison, I'm sorry, that's out of order at this point. We have a motion
guys,
to adjourn.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to go.
Excuse me, we have a motion to adjourn, and we need to deal with that. Harrison, this is out of order. If you want to bring a motion to the next meeting, then we can do that. But at this point, it's out of order. Now, is there any debate on the motion to adjourn?
Yes,
no.
There is.
I would like to appeal the decision of the chair.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Ted, get a life.
Gee.
Point of order.
Point of order.
Would the chair please admonish Melinda Eilly Doan, who just said those two comments?
Madam Chair,
I made a
there
comment.
Is the excuse me, I think the member is out of order, and the comments, not to say the pot rattling, are also out of order. I would appreciate a little bit of silence and a little bit of respect for each other. It's getting late, and we're getting short-tempered. Ted, you are on the stack. Go ahead, Ted.
Can we just vote on
well, I'm about to leave, so I'll see you guys later.
Thank you. Ted?
I realize that everyone's fuses have just about reached the end of their limit, but I'm not going to pursue the items on the agenda that I had placed before the body tonight. But I do think that, and I apologize for being as volatile as I was at the beginning of this meeting, but I think that before we adjourn, I would like the chair to defer to Harrison and the comments he was about to make, and then I will cease and support a motion to adjourn. But I would hope the chair would withdraw her decision and allow Harrison to finish before we move to adjourn.
Okay.